faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, no, it's Superman! Sound a little crazy, don't I? Well, I hope you don't think so by the end of the message. I remember when I was a kid, look, I used to listen to Superman on the radio. Old battery radio we had when I was a kid. That's giving away my age, isn't it? Well, I'm no spring chicken, and I don't try to hide the fact that I ain't. Okay? Anyway, I just wanted to get your attention here. Because the word I have for you today from God Almighty that He has laid on my heart is one you won't want to miss. I want to start off with a verse of Scripture just to set the stage for today's message. It's in the book of James, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now mark those words. Mark those words, yes indeed. Remember going back to the powerful, more powerful than locomotive? Well, they don't know what power is till they've seen the work of Almighty God. There is none more powerful. None. There is none beside God, not at all. But remember, if you will, if you are of that age, well, you've heard, well, you've seen the movies, probably some of you, at least Superman on the movies. And like I said, I listened to him on the radio, and I saw one or two of his movies on the television. Of course, then Superman died. I mean, the person who played Superman, and a multitude of other superheroes have emerged to save the day. Heroes like Spider-Man, Batman, Iron Man, the list goes on, and the kids eat it right up. I mean, look at the merchants. They make a fortune on selling Spider-Man costumes, Superman costumes, capes of every kind and design, and Iron Man. What are they going to sell now? A junk pile some kid can hardly wear? I don't know. The list goes on. They were all great on celluloid. But, you know, there's another who was a hero above all heroes. One who came to this earth a long, long time ago. The hero I speak of, well, came not as a conquering hero to smite the enemies of the earth. No, this hero I refer to, and many of you already know. He grew up as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised and not hailed as a conquering hero, for we esteemed him not. This man I speak of bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. His name sounded not like the superheroes of today, for there is none like unto him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, to be beaten and whipped to the bone. They tore at his beard, they blasphemed and ridiculed him to unbelief. Then they took him to a hill where they had laid their own garbage, and there they nailed him to a cross between two thieves. His name, a name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. His mission, to suffer and die for the sin of the whole world, to shed his precious atoning blood into the dust of Golgotha to cleanse us from the sin that does so easily beset us. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and make his soul an offering for sin. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bared the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's you and I. If you decide to speak of heroes, be sure you mention the name of Jesus Christ. After all, he was the first, and he is the last, the Alpha and the Omega. You know, wherever I go, I hear the same response when I get asked the question, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. It seems that most everybody says the same. Yes, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. But don't you just love those buts? They're everywhere in the Bible. But and if. They're all over. You have to deal with them. Understand why they're there. Very important. Buts and ifs. Buts. There are plenty of buts and ifs in the Bible. And every one of them is there for a purpose. For example, and I really like this particular but, Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, whose righteousness are we talking about? It's not ours. We have no righteousness whatsoever. It's the righteousness of Almighty God, of Jesus Christ. And if you look at it again, what's the second word? If. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The sin you have, you've had, you will have, is all under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, going back to what I said, I mean, about people saying, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, the fact of the matter is, not all who profess Jesus Christ really believe in what they say. Not all are actually saved. Well, even the devil professes Jesus Christ, and there's no way he's saved. So you see, and this is so important. It's not enough to simply believe in Jesus Christ. You need to live in Christ. You need to be in him, and he in you. If not, then you're none of his. None of his. You only think you are. Well, there's no if as to the end times we are currently living in. We are living in the end times. Soon, very soon, and no, I don't know how long soon is. Only God knows that. The end times are when the world's economic situation is in chaos, just like it is today. Can you see it? The end times are when world leaders just can't meet the world payroll, and bankruptcy may well be the only option. Do you see it? The end times are when the small churches continue to get smaller, and the big churches continue getting bigger. Do you see it? Do you? The end times are when you can't tell the difference between God's children and the devil's lot. Don't you see it? It's all around us. The end times are when men of great spiritual reputation insist that there's no hell, no literal hell. Haven't you heard? Oh, yes. The end times are now. Now, everywhere, they're here. The end times are when theologians just can't seem to agree whether or not the church will be raptured before the tribulation, at the middle of the tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation. Haven't you heard it? Sure you have. What bothers me the most is how they can be so stupid. The scriptures are very clear concerning the rapture of the church. One of the many places in scripture that acknowledges a pre-trib rapture can be found in Revelation 6, 1-5. When Jesus opens the first of three seals, marking the start of the outpouring of His wrath. A wrath that we, the church, are not appointed to. The church of God is in heaven when this happens. We are not appointed unto wrath. Think on this. Think on this, will you? If we must go through part of all the tribulation, then why not wait to get saved when you see all these things come to pass? You see, that's one of the big mistakes today. People say, yeah, I believe in Christ, yeah, but I'm going to have some fun until I know He's coming and the day is coming, and when He's ready to come, then I'm going to smarten up and take Him. You can't. It'll be too late. God will send a strong delusion and you'll believe a lie. That lie being the Antichrist. Also, there would be no need to watch for the signs of Christ's return. Just watch for the Antichrist. And if you're concerned about having to take His mark, 666, in order to buy or sell, you can reckon that Christ will understand your need to survive. Or will He? Does He not warn us against taking the mark of the beast? Huh? Oh yeah. And what about the strong delusion I just mentioned that God will send to all Christ's rejecters? This delusion means that those who have heard about Christ and His saving grace and have rejected Him, and when I say rejected, I don't mean say, no, I don't believe Him. I'm talking about people who say, well, I don't know, I'll think about it. Procrastinating is rejecting. But those who have rejected Him will not have a second chance. No, you won't. It'll be too late and you will believe a lie. You will believe a lie and begin to worship, guess who? The Antichrist as God. He will say He's God and you will believe it. How can you believe in the gospel of salvation and also in the Antichrist? It's time for you to study the scriptures and know the truth, for it's the truth that will make you free. Instead of looking for signs of Christ's return, we should be keeping about the Lord's work. The stage is already prepared for the Antichrist. And what about Israel? Is Israel ready? Make sure of what you believe. For 1.75 billion, 1.75 billion people are about to be slaughtered. Oh, that's a sad number. With all due respect, once the Antichrist takes over, the great genocide of the Jews and what really happened in Rwanda, comparatively speaking, won't even tip the scale. If you haven't received Christ as your personal Savior, then you will be in that number and on your way to an eternal hell where the worm dieth not. Yes, you will. The point is, if you should find yourself still on the earth when the Antichrist is revealed, then you will be required to swear allegiance to Him as God. As God. And in order to tell who's who isn't, who's done it, who's part of his tribe, if you will, the mark of 666 will be embedded on the back of your hand or in your forehead. If you don't have the mark, you had better be well hidden, because Satan's army will be searching everywhere for you, and you will be beheaded. You will be beheaded. The guillotine will come back. You will lose your head. On the positive side, isn't it great to hear a positive side? Oh yes. We who are truly saved will be home in heaven with our Lord. Keep in mind, and this is important, the Holy Spirit will never abandon the saved saints of Christ. No, not until we are taken out at the rapture. If the Holy Spirit were to leave earth before the rapture, even God's children would be powerless against such a mighty foe. All because of faith, people. All because of faith. Your faith. My faith. If you haven't determined who you will follow today, tomorrow may be too late. It may be too late. Faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. No works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. I can tell you right now what the problem is. Don't believe me if you won't. It's up to you. There are too many imitation Bibles on the market. Too many. I know of Christians in my life, in my church even, who read more than one version of the Bible. And in the end, they always choose to believe the one that agrees most with their lifestyle. Oh, I like that, yeah. I knew there wasn't anything wrong with doing that. This Bible says so. Huh. Well, I'm going to use this as my Bible. Some have chosen not to believe a literal hell because people like Billy Graham and Pope John Paul had said so. My Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. They'll answer for that. They'll answer. I hear people lamenting all the time. Well, how are we to know what Bible is the truth and which one is corrupt? And I always say, the right one is the bloodiest one. Huh? The right one is the bloodiest one. Not only does the true Word of God keep all the blood in, not only does the true Word of God speak more about hell than heaven, not only does the true Word of God contain the complete gospel of Jesus Christ, not only does the true Word of God tell us in simple terms how to get to heaven and how to avoid hell, but the same true Word lays out every minute detail on how to live the Christian life while we reap the many blessings God has in store for us. People, you cannot stumble aimlessly through life on a wing and a prayer, just hoping that when it's all said and done, God will welcome you with open arms. No. Oh yes, you will. You will stand before God, all right, in the name of Jesus Christ, at the great white throne judgment. But you will hear the words you dread so much. I know you not. Be gone from me into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, what sad words they are. You don't want to hear those. No, you don't. You will weep unceasingly. You will gnash your teeth and scream for mercy as the death angels drag you from the courtroom of God and deliver you to the fiery furnace, which will be your final abode. The question is, why? Why did you let it happen when you knew you could have prevented it? When I got saved, I didn't have the King James Bible to show me how. I wasn't even allowed to read the King James Bible or any other Bible. The Catholic Church warned me not to. I got saved the same way they did in the Old Testament days, by crying out to God, believing in the saving power of a holy and righteous God, that He would provide a way that I had not truly known, a way that He, God, would show unto me. He provided me with His Word. And the Word was and still is the King James 1611 Authorized Bible. That's His Word. His true Word. My mother gave it to me. And from that day forward, well, I would never look back. This is what happened to me on that cold, dark, rainy night many years ago. God the Father, hearing my cries, drew me to His Son, knowing it was Him I so needed. It was then up to me. It was up to me to believe in Him or reject Him. The choice was mine. Why is there so much confusion today? Why are there so many Bibles? It's because that old devil, the prince of darkness, had his angels organize an elite band of misfits and degenerates to confound an unsuspecting people. A people that wanted more freedom and less worry concerning the doctrines of Jesus Christ. So, when the one or two or three Bibles continued to leave the people perplexed and feeling they were still under the law instead of grace, then Satan got the presses rolling big time until some 400 plus Bibles were printed, thus creating a Bible to suit virtually every lifestyle. If the King James says, "Come out from amongst them and be ye separate," which it does, you'll find a Bible that either omits that completely or says, "Don't worry about it." Or some other lie. A Bible? Yes, there's one out there for you. Whatever you need, whatever you want, there's a Bible that agrees with you. The devil made sure of that. But then, not only had the saving blood of Jesus Christ been virtually removed, but also, so were many of the barriers that had renounced personal preference lifestyles. Now there's a phrase, personal preference lifestyle, homosexuality, child abuse. The list goes on and on. What you prefer. The governments of today acknowledge what the people prefer because it's the people who make the government who they are. And now we're left with a potpourri of mangled scriptures, torn askew from the archives of God's perfect word. Scriptures so mishandled they have produced a tidal wave of hell-bound Christians. Where will it all end? At the great white throne judgment. And then it'll be too late. And now with the ever-increasing influx of satanic propaganda nudging hard against today's gutless preachers, not only has separation become a dirty word that shouldn't even be in the Bible and isn't in many, but also with the removal of hell, life has become one big bowl of cherries. It's a shame, though, that someone so base or something so basic as a cherry inevitably leads to a pit. Now, since not every so-called Christian actually believes in a literal hell, the crisis is magnified. You see, if you don't believe in hell, then you're calling Christ a liar, first of all. And the Word of God says, let God be true, and every man a liar. And since Jesus spoke more on hell than he did on heaven, the end result has to be that you are not a Christian. You only think you are. Anyone who believes they are a Christian and denies the complete Word of God is a liar and the truth is not in him. It's so very hard to believe just how many precious souls will end up in hell all because Billy Graham or Pope John Paul said there was no such place as a literal hell. Oh, I weep for their souls. But it's too late. Don't try to blame your Christian neighbor or your brother at the local church. No, don't try to blame them when you find yourself shivering in your robe of unrighteousness as you stand before Christ on that judgment day. It'll be too late. Too late, I tell you. He who is lifted up and exalted by the world will find no refuge in the arms of Christ. Bear this in mind. When the accolades of Mr. Graham and others who follow his way of thinking begin to flow, and when death has taken them aside, it will be better for them that they had not been born. In the Bible, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 4, I quoted it at the beginning of this message. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Mark those words. When Billy Graham is gone, it may seem to many who loved him so dearly as the passing of the world's most famous religious icon. But what is religion to God? Religion is everything apart from Jesus Christ. In the Word of God, Jesus had these words to all who should be his disciples. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Matthew 10, verse 16. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. Verse 17. Then in verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Do you think Billy Graham or Pope John Paul are hated by all men for Christ's name's sake? I don't think so. Although Jesus was speaking directly to his 12 disciples, he was also speaking to us who would deliver his word to the world of the dying. Go into all the world, he said, and preach the gospel. He did not say, go into all the world and partake of their sinful ways. You don't have a bottle of beer with a drunk to try and win them to Christ. You don't rob a bank with another robber to try and win them to Christ. He did not say, go into all the world and sup with mine enemies. He did not say, go into all the world and tell them there is no hell. He did not say, go back to your idols and do what they tell you to do. No. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's what he said. It's becoming increasingly difficult to find many who are still in the true Christian faith. Each day the Lord doesn't return is another day for the devil to add to his army of non-believers. And each day that line gets longer and longer at the devil's kiosk. But what really, really breaks my heart is the growing number of non-believers who were once professing children of God, but are not. They're not. These are not those who would deny the faith openly, but those who I myself had at one time led to the Lord. I was so sure of them, but it's as though they suddenly became different people. I didn't know them anymore. And now they're gone. Gone the way of the world. These are not just church friends, but close relatives, cousins, brothers, even husbands and wives. People, it's not an overnight process. If you think back, you get little hints along the way. Friends who like to do things together, who just couldn't get enough sweet fellowship. Now they begin reading different Bibles and mixing with different church people. And coming to the point where they feel they need to be rescued from God's Word. Because there's no way they can live it. I know some preachers call it bondage. So much for faith. Even husbands and wives begin to disagree on what they once fully and completely held so dear in the Word of God. But they're hearing about more fun ways to worship God. Fun ways to worship God. Like they were going to a theme park or something. Look at that church down the street. Thousands go there and they have fun. They have fellowship. They have the time of their lives. Because they're not legalistic like we are. It tears my heart out every time a brother or sister in the Lord complains about the sermon being too legalistic. Come out from among them and be ye separate. None of them want to hear that. Well, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. If you check out the web, you may or you may not be surprised, depending on who you are, at who has left their first love and given themselves over to a reprobate system. If I didn't know better, I'd surely believe that the Antichrist is already on the scene. It's already for them. People like Benny Hinn, Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, they're all having money virtually thrown at them. And unfortunately, most of it comes from little old ladies trying to buy their salvation, who are easy prey for religious imposters who are empowered by the devil. Elsewhere, women preachers are becoming more dominant. And now evangelicalism permits them to slip in the back door. And believe it or not, many of them are preachers' wives and daughters. Then we have what I choose to call the light at the end of the tunnel. People. People. Oh, yes, preacher, I was out of my body. At least out of your mind. I was out of my body and was going down this long corridor where I saw a bright light. It was the middle of the night and someone left the bathroom light on. It was so bright, I couldn't look at it. I have the same problem if I turn on the mirror lights in the bathroom. I knew I was in the presence of God. I felt this great weight being taken off me. I have the same feeling once I go to the bathroom. It was God. He was reassuring me that everything was going to be all right, and He wasn't ready yet to take me to heaven. So He sent me back to my car accident. Of course, then I knew I wasn't going to die right there and then. Oh, give me a break, will ya? Let me just say this, people. Back in the late 1940s, a great country singer by the name of Hank Williams had a massive hit record with his spiritual song called I Saw the Light. Many of you will remember that. If you listen to the song, it's easy to understand what Hank was talking about. He was talking about salvation. The salvation he so wanted but couldn't pull free from the devil's grip of alcohol and pills. One night after singing that very song, I Saw the Light, as Hank was leaving the stage, he said to his friend Minnie Pearl, "You know, Minnie, that's just it. There ain't no light. There just ain't no light." Hank was lamenting his own need to find that light. Not the one down at the end of the tunnel, but the one that fills your heart with the joy of your salvation. For those of you who take these bright light tunnel journeys, be very careful. For the devil himself also appears as an angel of light. And remember this, if you see what you perceive to be the face of Jesus Christ on a muffin at your local donut shop, don't put too much stock in that either. Because sooner or later, somebody will eat it. That's just the way people are. Are you a professing Christian waiting for your miracle to happen? If so, may I suggest you go back to bed when you've had a full night's sleep? And here's some food for thought. Yes, miracles happen. They happen every day. I've had countless miracles in my life. Praise be to God. Allow me to explain. When I can put my feet on the floor in the morning, that's a miracle for me from God. When I have my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner, these are three more miracles. If I have a job, if I have the power to support my family, I thank God for these miracles. Well, what I'm trying to say, people, is God's miracles are new every day. So stop being a Pharaoh, will you? God made you, and that in itself is a miracle. Give Him praise. Give Him thanks. And believe in Jesus Christ who suffered and died for your sins and mine and then rose again from the dead on the third day. Now there's the greatest miracle of all. Saving you and me from hell. If you're still waiting for a miracle, you know what you are? You're a faith buster. A faith buster. Many faith busters are highly esteemed in their theological craft. Usually these people compare Scripture with Scripture. Unfortunately, though, they compare God's Scriptures using multiple Bibles that the devil wrote. Thus, lending themselves to confusion. Confusion, which God is not the author of. One thing I'm sure of, if you are not sure about what God's Word is saying, then the devil, like he first planted a seed of doubt in Eve's head in the garden, well, he'll help you also to be filled with doubt. As far back as I can recall, God has always answered my prayers. And he's usually done so according to the desires of my heart. Well, what's your secret, you ask? There's no secret. But there is a word that is the very embodiment of every true believer in Christ. In case you haven't guessed, the word is faith. Faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, if ye have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence unto yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I didn't say that, Jesus did. So, whenever I hear a TV or radio preacher say that he has to re-examine whether or not God is really there because he hasn't heard God speak nor answer his prayers lately, then I say to myself, either this man is not saved, or his faith is even smaller than that of a mustard seed. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Mr. Skeptic, to you of little faith, I say to you, what my dear, holy, and faithful Lord has laid on my heart. Listen up. First of all, using the King James 1611 Bible, look closely at Hebrews 11 verse 1. Say it to memory, and then hide it in your heart and repeat it every day. Secondly, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Then go to a quiet place to pray on your knees and acknowledge the greatness and holiness of God. You don't show your humility by self-abasement. I'm not saying you call yourself names. God knows your heart, and everything you're going to say, he knows that anyway, but he still wants to hear you tell him. Tell him. Now, because he is God and knows your every thought and your every move, do not try to trick him. Next, give him thanks and praise for everything, whether you liked it or not. Next, pray for the needs of others, whether they be friends, enemies, or unknown. Pray for the lost and dying souls. You won't have to name them all. Maybe some close to you. God knows who they are anyway. Finally, submit your petitions. What you want, whether spiritual or material. When all is said and done, thank God and ask for patience and wisdom to understand him better. Then, leave everything with him. And don't forget to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Remember this. Just remember this as we come to the closing of this message. When you pray, you must pray in faith, believing that God will answer your prayers. You don't pray to see if he'll answer. or hope He'll answer, in faith believing He will answer. You must not pray amiss. Do not pray amiss. Be obedient. Also keep in mind, first of all, you must be saved, a believer, a child of the King. And secondly, if you don't get all that you pray for, understand this, that God has His reasons. He may not reveal them to you right away, but in due season, if we faint, if we don't give up, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't pout. Don't give up. Keep the faith and be sure to always, always give the credit, the praise, and the glory openly when telling others how good God is. In all things, praise God. Remember, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord God, thank You for this opportunity You've given me to utter this message. Lord, I pray that those who have listened to it, Lord, that they have learned well from it, that Thy word shall not return to Thee void. I pray, Lord, that if one or more of them, Lord, is not truly saved or not sure about their salvation, that they will come to Thee now on their knees, Lord, in their secret place if they must, and call out, no, cry out to Thee in the name of Thy dear Son, that You should draw them to Thy Son, that they might be saved and be sure of it. For tomorrow is promised to no one. O Lord God, Thou art not willing that any should perish. Have mercy, Lord. As You have had mercy on me, have mercy on them also. In the name of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.